sky blue days. These are sky blue days. When the CBS and the SBA will fight to the end and lead the way. Sing out together.
Sky Blue Fans TV, for the fans, by the fans.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Sky Blue Fans TV. Tonight, myself, Glenn, are joined by Victoria and Miles Cadden. We'll be looking forward to the upcoming EFL fixtures that were announced today, and also we'll be discussing the Carabao Cup draw. So, first of all, Miles, Sunderland away. It was kind of fated that we were going to go back there. I think the last game that I went to pre-COVID was obviously the infamous 1-0 game, Matty Godden, the offside goal and all the histrionics after that. So what's your thoughts initially on Sunderland away?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. I mean, last time I went up there, it was the 5-4. So it still sticks in the memory. And I think the season after it was 1-1, wasn't it? But I mean, what a tie you could have wished for, to be fair, because I mean, I know it's an early start. I think we're going to be heading off probably about 7 in the morning to get up there. But, you know, it's going to be live on Sky. Sunderland just come up. We're now settled into the Championship. I believe it's going to be just a fantastic game for the start of the season. And if it could be anything like the last probably 3 or 4 meetings between the two clubs, it could be something special for the start of the season on Sky. And I mean, their fans have never forgot the Jimmy Hill days, unfortunately, but we just get on with it. But I think the only thing I'll be disappointed with will probably be the ticket allocation, which obviously we don't know yet. But I think last time we went up there when it was the 1-1, I think they only gave us, I think it was about 2,600. So it was way less than.
I think it was the bare minimum. 5-4. Yeah, because the 5-4 game, there was obviously a lot of aggro before and after the game, and then and during the game as well. So I think they'd give it the bare minimum that they were allowed to give us. Victoria, what's your thoughts, obviously, on Sunderland away?
I think I agree with Marge, but it's an exciting start to the season, isn't it? I think I saw that and just sort of laughed and thought it had to be something like that, didn't it? It's just these sorts of things are just sort of fate, really, just make football that little bit more exciting when the fates of God come out and give us this sort of strange picture permutation. So I think it was always going to be something like that, and it makes for an exciting start to the season. It's a tasty fixture, isn't it? It'll be on Sky. There's that sort of bit of like history between the clubs. And so, yeah, it starts the season off with a bit of a bang, really. And I think that once the fixtures come out, it really done that countdown time to the season, isn't it? So it's an exciting couple of weeks now, getting ready to get going again. And yeah, a good start.
I think it says a lot about the tie as well, with Sky picking it straight away for televisation, you know?
Yeah,
I mean that shows how far we've come as a club. I mean, I can't remember the last time we were on Sky for the first game of the season, apart from the Forest game, which was last season. So, you know, going away from that, for having it two seasons on the trot, where, you know, we've got the cameras in front of us and the players. I think they'll just thrive on that, and. From what I hear, Mark Robbins said this morning on CWR, was all positive. So, you know, it's going to be one of them. And I just hope that majority of us can get tickets for it. It is going to be exciting. It's just going to be just electric as well. The atmosphere, I think they've sold 20-odd thousand season tickets, Sunderland. So the ground's going to be full. Probably, obviously, the segregation between the away fans, and we'll be up in the heavens, and you know, we'll sing us loud and proud on the day.
I don't think it'll be a dull fixture, and I can see why Sky picked it. I think it's an interesting one because you normally say promoted teams, you don't want them first game of the season because they have that momentum. But then you look at it, if it's a packed out stadium alight, they have a habit, Sunderland, of being a bit of a bottle job. Maybe not so much under Alex Neil now, who's probably a wily operator, but they have a bit of a reputation being about bottle job. And I think the fact that they're probably going to come out the traps against us and attack us will almost play into our hands, and we could pick them off. I could see Godden, Vic, O'Hare having a bit of fun against them. I think the worry I would have is if we go there and we throw in a cough performance, which we can do, we have the odd game where we just lot of looting away, then it could just set the seeds of doubt into it. But I think it's a really, really interesting game. I think there's a lot of the games the first week of the season. There's quite a few interesting matchups. I think there's Blackburn, QPR, which is the two new managers. Huddersfield have got Burnley in company's first game. Middlesbrough have got West Brom. Cardiff, Norwich go to Cardiff, who they might have Gareth Bale in the team. And there's obviously Watford, Sheffield United on the Monday night. So it's definitely an interesting start to the season. So obviously you look at our first home game, we've got Rotherham, which obviously is quite interesting given the last time we played them, which was obviously the 1-0 win there with Leo. What are your thoughts, Vicky, on Rotherham first up at home? Good home game, or would you rather add one that's a bit more attractive or sexier, so to speak?
I suppose it's difficult, isn't it? Because there's a lot to be said, I think, probably alluding to what you've just said about the Sunderland game. You want to start a season well, don't you? Like, you get some momentum going, especially at home. Like, we really started well at home last season, didn't we? And I think that Rotherham's a winnable game, and that probably is more important than maybe we could have had something a bit more exciting, but maybe at the risk that we wouldn't have got the 3 points, I'd be much more... I'd be disappointed if we didn't get 3 points against Rotherham. I think that's a very winnable game. And that probably is better for us than maybe a sort of, I don't know, like Norwich or something like that. That might have been a bit more exciting, but would probably be a bit more of a test. I don't know if you two agree.
What do you think, Miles? Good draw, or it's another promoted team, potentially a banana skin? Rotherham average one.
Yeah, I think I had the four first games. I think we've got three promoted teams. So Rotherham, it's my birthday. So we always win on my birthday. I believe it's 3 points there in the bag. But you never know. They've just lost a couple of players to Sheffield Wednesday. So they must have gone back down the leagues for big bucks. Obviously, Sheffield Wednesday splashing their cash to try and get out of that league. Is it the Rotherham that we've seen before where it's just hoofball and, you know, straight over the top and every time they get the ball, they just clear it? Is it going to be the same? Or have they changed their philosophy and played their way out of the League One to get them back into the Championship the way we did it? So you never know with Rotherham. I mean, I remember going down there a couple of seasons ago and we got absolutely annihilated. McFadden got sent off and it was all over by half time. And I thought, hold on a minute, wait, the team hasn't even come off the bus by the looks of it. So, I mean, it's the first home game of the season. It's brilliant. It's going to be electric. And, you know, as I say, it's my birthday. So it's 3 points in the bag, I reckon.
Hopefully so. What other fixtures obviously stand out to you? I know obviously Blackpool away is the one that Cov fans look out for. Obviously it's a Saturday towards the end of March. Probably not the worst time, but probably would have liked it a bit better. Sunnier weather. Obviously we're all planning to go Watford away for our pod away game. Is there any others that stand out to you guys? Miles, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to... I'm glad we've got Norwich quite early on in the season. I think they're eighth game of the season. So hopefully fitness levels will be a good level then. And we won't go there and be scared like we did when they were here 2 years ago. We'll probably go there and put a performance in like we did against Fulham at home and away. And I'm going to go for the weekend for that one, which would be nice. We'll probably go down the Friday night, have a couple of nights down there, because fellow Cov fans live in Ipswich, so they're going to drive up, which is literally 45 minutes away, and we're going to have a weekend of it. I'm pleased that we've got West Brom early as well, and also Preston North End, because I think those sort of teams, as the season goes on, they'll probably get stronger like they did this season. And, you know, it will all boil down to that. So it's nice to get those teams out of the way. I think the obviously Blackpool away in March, that's not too bad, is it really, March? And it's a Saturday for a change. So we're all looking forward to that. And then the running really towards the end. I think the running at the end, if we're in the mix, we're probably playing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Out of the last 7 or 8 games, we're probably playing 5 that are going to be knocking on the door for the playoffs, I reckon. Because you've got Stoke City, Swansea, Watford, QPR, Blackburn, and Middlesbrough. So, you know, those are the teams that you think are going to be there or thereabouts. And it could be a quite tasty end of the season there, especially if we're all within a few points of each other. It could just line it up to be an electric finish to the season.
Victoria, obviously the one that does stand out is Middlesbrough away, which has a feel of it that it's going to have something riding on the game for one, if not both of us, just because obviously it's Chris Wilder and everyone thinks that he's going to work his magic and get Middlesbrough out of it. Hopefully not with Vic in the team, but they've signed another Sky Blue, ex-Sky Blue player in Ryan Giles today. What's your thoughts on that as to an end to the season, Borough away? And also, is there any other games that stand out for you?
I think it's an exciting end to the season, like Miles just said, isn't it? I think the run-up, there's a lot of teams there that I think will be having something to play for. And that's what you want at the end of the season, isn't it? You don't want your season to have like become a damp squib by about February. Like last season, in the end, the sort of Stoke game really was a bit of a dead rubber. But up until that point, we had something to play for right through to the end, and it keeps it exciting. And so I think that'll be the same again next season. And there's an interesting run of games through sort of April and sort of early May. And so I think that it's an interesting run of fixtures. It's a bit disappointing that there's a couple of away games that I'm disappointed are in the week, because it just like it's a bit of a pain then, isn't it? So like Bristol City would have been nice if it could have been on a weekend this time. I always like a trip away to Blackburn, and that's in the middle of the week this season as well, so that's a shame. But it's nice to see that Preston North End's on a Saturday, because bit of a bogey ground, isn't it? I don't think that we probably wouldn't help last season by it being a wet Tuesday night. So hopefully we can like turn around our form up at Preston with a nice Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, and give them a result that they deserve after the sort of bit of luck they've had in recent years.
I mean, looking at the midweek fixtures, if you look at it between now and November, there's only there's 2 away midweek fixtures. So the one which we had quite late on, virtually in the middle of the winter, was Luton away. We've got Luton away early doors. So it's not going to be a windy, wet, rainy night, cold and freezing going to Luton.
No, that's better, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's a lot better. And then Bristol City, Tuesday night. It was a Tuesday night again last season, wasn't it? But I thought it was going to be worse than what it looks. They're saying it was going to be Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. And it isn't really that, is it? There's quite a few breaks in between.
So, no, we have been lucky. It has fouled that quite a lot of the midweek games are at home. So at home, yeah. I think it could have been much worse, couldn't it, really?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's what exactly. You just not the nail on the head there, Vic. A lot of the games midweek, they're at home, which is fantastic. I mean, that really helps us, because I think last season, I think we had more away midweek than we did at home. And I think that hit us quite a lot, you know, with the motorways being shut and the size of the team and that. And then COVID hit in December, you know, and it sort of stretched the squad a bit, didn't it? But it just looks good to run up to November. I just think, as you say, Vic, there's more home midweek games than there is away, which is good.
I think it probably shows how far we've come as well. You look through the fixtures, and like the first season we got up to the Championship, you're looking through thinking, oh, that's a difficult run of games, that's a difficult run of games. Now you look through, and I just think, like, obviously some games are harder than others, but there's no games that I feel scared by. There's no run of fixtures where I'm thinking, oh dear, I can't say we're going to get any points for, basically through the whole season. I just look through thinking, this is just really exciting. I think it just shows how far we've come in the last couple of seasons, that from when we first got promoted back to the Championship, it was like looking at each month thinking, how many points can we get this month? And hoping it was enough to stay up at the end of the season, to now thinking, well, I really think this we could do well this month, and how close can we get to like the playoffs, and can we push it any further than that? And it's that's why I'm just so excited for the season to start again, because it just feels like such a sort of, I don't know, promising season, really. So I'm just excited about all of that, really.
I mean, I think when you look at the fixtures as well, you know, like before we were going, oh no, Fulham just come down from the Premier League, they've got all this money.
Yeah.
You know, you look, we went, oh, you know, got to face them. The players are on over 100 grand a week, blah, blah, blah. And then Bournemouth, you know, they just, you know, struggled to, you know, get out of the league, and then they're still spending money. And you look at those teams and you were sort of, can we go there and get a result? Well, you look at this league this season, and I think probably the two hardest games, and I mean, people say Norwich, but I don't believe there will be. I think the two hardest games will probably be Burnley and Watford, because I don't think we'd be scared going into that either, because the players have proved themselves last season against the top six, how good they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, the players are going to know that they could go to Watford, they could win at Watford, they could go to Burnley, they could win at Burnley, you know, and go to Norwich, and they could do Norwich this time, where I think the first season it was all with rabbits in headlights. And this season, as you say, but you look at it and you think, winnable, winnable, draw, draw, loss, maybe winnable, maybe draw. And you do look at it that way, don't you now? You're not as scared, are you?
No, I think the fear factor is definitely gone. And I don't think there's an air of arrogance. I think there's a bit of a self-belief and confidence that we've come on. I think I was listening to somebody else talking about it. You look, the first game back in the Championship, we played Bristol City away. We were 1-0 down, literally straight from kickoff. And we kind of, ever since then, we were kind of a bit on the back foot. And then we lost Godin. And then you look at it last season, we got that winner against Forest. Obviously, we lost at Barnsley, but we played really well. We beat Reading, we're late goal, and you just got that momentum going, and we kicked on. And I know we had a dip, but that was always going to happen. And we raised the bar that high that it was never going to be likely to succeed unless we had a very, very large amount of luck. And we probably didn't get the lucky breaks that we did last season. We probably got on the wrong side of it, a few breaks on it and stuff that didn't go for us. But you look at it now, you look at like Sheffield United coming to play us, you look at Blackburn coming to play us again, you look at who else? West Brom, we played them off the park at the Hawthorns. There'll be teams are thinking, if we keep the majority of that squad together, there'll be teams thinking, a point here at Coventry in the bad result. Or Coventry go to their place and it's a bit like, we've got to be careful with these because these have got players who are going to cause us problems. And I think it's just that self-belief. And that's, I think, the most important thing is, first game of the season, we go to Sunderland, we're in the Lions' Den, Hornets' Nest, whatever you want to call it. We stand up and be counted. And if we lose, we lose. But I think we need to make a statement and show a bit of fight, because Sunderland are no mugs. Alex Neil is a very, very good manager. His record shows that. But they're not unbeatable. And even, I don't know, I think I saw Lee Hendry today tipping them for the top six, and that's just laughable on it. But I think a good start especially with the break, and we've got a fortunate run of games, I think we need to count it, make it count. The only problem is that's a double-edged sword, that if we don't make it count, then we're going to have another season like the first season of the Championship where it's played catch up on it. What's your thoughts on the cup draw, Vicky? Bristol City at home, probably the worst draw we could get getting another Championship team.
Yeah, it's one of those sort of ones, isn't it? Although I'm a bit torn, because I think that because of the World Cup and the fact that the fixtures are all a bit thinner this year, that do we really want a League Cup run? Generally you do want a cup run, a bit of money, a bit of momentum, but actually do we want the extra games this season? So is it the end of the world if we go out early and then can just concentrate on the league? And so if we were going to go out, I'd rather lose to a team that is credible than get beat by somebody like in the lower leagues, and that's a bit embarrassing and can have a bit of a negative effect. So I'm a bit torn really about exactly what I think about that the fixture entirely. I don't know at this moment. I'm still sort of torn about exactly what I think.
What do you think, Miles? Is it going to be like a reserve game between the both sides where they both rest about 8 or 9 players each?
Well, I was just about to say what you just said there, Glenn. I think not only us, I think other leagues, and especially the Premier League, I think you could see a Carabao Cup final with a lower league team in it this season. And I believe the FA Cup as well, because these teams like us, you know, okay, we've got Vic who plays for Sweden now, but other teams who have got international players, Sunderland, they've got some international players in there, so they're going to be thinking about the World Cup. The Premier League, obviously, they're all going to be thinking about the World Cup. And I think that every team this season in the Carabao Cup will probably play a weakened side. There's just something about it, because as Vic's just said, there's a lot of fixtures there. And the teams that have got these international players in there, they're all going to want to go to the World Cup. They're not going to want to get injured. And I think there could be an upset somewhere along the line in this cup competition this season. I'm happy with the Bristol City draw, to be honest, because, you know, it's something to play for, because you're playing against someone in the same league as you, where last season we had Northampton Town, and it was just drab, and we dropped to their level, and they were up for it for a little bit more than we were, and, you know, it just ended up being a bad night. And so I think I prefer to probably have a Championship team in this cup, and you know, and if both teams do play a weakened side, then happy days, because it could be anyone's game. And if we play a lot of youngsters, like Tavares and that, we get a good picture of him, don't we? We get to see him play probably 90 minutes. So I think it'd be all right. I think you could see a Championship side in the final this season, I reckon, because of the World Cup.
Yeah, the break's interesting, because we play, I think, 11 games. Then we have a break for the last two Nation League fixtures. And then I think we play another 10. So actually, tell a lot. We play 12 games, which include the Bristol City Cup game. Then we have a break. Then we play 10 games. And then we obviously go on another break. And then it's back into the season. What are your thoughts, obviously, on the schedule? Because it just seemed a bit imbalance, Vicky, when you look at it. I think we only have like one home game in September, and we seem very stocked up like the first 11 games, and it kind of seems to space itself back out again, where we have loads of midweeks free.
Yeah, it's strange, because I thought, I suppose, a bit like we were saying earlier in the chat, that it was going to be sort of Saturday, Tuesday throughout the whole season. But like you said early on, it's quite congested. But then when we come back after sort of like the World Cup, it's much more spaced out. So I don't really understand why they've made it so tight for a couple of months. And then when surely they could have spread it out slightly more if they've got all those free sort of weekdays. I mean, in sort of March and April, we've only got a handful of midweek games. And obviously there's like cup competitions to fit in. And I suppose they've happened to allow for sort of various things that get games to have to be played at a later stage. But it just seems that it's strange that there's so many games rammed together quite early on and then against a sort of fairly open schedule later on. So that's a bit of a strange one. So, yeah, I'm not sure that it's been worked out for the best. But, I mean, I suppose that's another interesting thing, actually, because we talk about Sunderland being like the first game of the season. Effectively, we've almost got a second first game of the season, haven't we? Because once you've had the World Cup and you all come back again, it's almost like another start to the season. And it'll be interesting to see how teams cope with that. Because obviously nobody's used to that before, are they? It'll be interesting to see how teams come back and how that affects teams differently, really.
Well, Reading away is probably not the worst game to come back after a break on. And also, you look at it, I don't think we'll potentially have anyone away at the World Cup. I think, because Sweden are out, I think the only one we'd potentially have would be Howley, and he would obviously have to be playing regularly for us and be really, really, really doing well, which would obviously be a benefit in getting the Welsh squad. I don't think there's anyone else who we've got currently at the moment who would be going to the World Cup. So we're probably lucky in comparison, like with, if you compare it to like a Cardiff, who would potentially maybe have four or five players going, possibly more, and a few of the bigger names, if they've got a few internationals as well, they'll be going over as well. So I think that could be a blessing, the rest we're going to get.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I would say.
And it helps with our smaller squad, doesn't it? Because it gives us a bit of a break, and Robins can manage that then, can't he? He can use that time as he sees best, really. So yeah, like you said, it could make a big difference to our season if we can come back with sort of a fresh start again after the World Cup, with sort of players that have had a chance to get rid of any little niggles. Because I think that's what happened, wasn't it, last season? We just sort of hit a bit of a dip in form because players were picking up niggles and there was no real time to rest them. And we didn't have a big enough squad to really rotate much. So people would just happen to sort of make the most of it. Whereas a good few weeks off can allow some of those niggles just to be healed and sort of players to have a bit of a break and come back strong again then for the second half of the season. And like you said, with other teams that are probably going to be competing for those playoff spots, maybe losing more players during the World Cup than we are, that could be a real bonus for us, couldn't it, for the second half of the season. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that all pans out.
I think as well, when you look at January, every game's a Saturday, and then in between the first, which is New Year's Day, which is a Sunday, obviously. But you'll have the FA Cup the following week. And then, you're away at Burnley, home to Norwich, and away at Preston. So they're all Saturday, apart from New Year's Day, which is the Sunday this year. So I think that's a nice little month there. I think that's pretty cool, to be honest with you. And then, you know, as Vic said about early on, where we've got three away games, which is in September. In the February, we've got three home games, so and just two away games. So that's when you start getting to the business end of the season in February. So you know you've got three winnable games there at home. So you know you look at that and you think, okay, we'll get rid of the away games early, get them out of the way, and, you know, finish strong at home, hopefully at the end of the season, and push on from there. So it's pretty good, to be honest, I reckon.
One thing we haven't talked about is obviously we've made a sign-in, which we kind of all, everyone knew was coming, Casey Palmer. What are your thoughts on him coming in, Vic? He's got a bit of a reputation, potentially of maybe being a bright mark too, but with a bit of a better track record. Is it good that we've brought somebody in to give Callum O'Hare competition?
I think so. I mean, that was like the worst kept secret of football, wasn't it? We've known, like, this rumour's been going around for weeks. I'm just glad it got over the line in the end, because I think that if it sort of disappeared and sort of gone away, it probably would have been a bit of a disappointment in it. I think that's a positive signing, really. I think that he looks like an interesting player. He's definitely got ability, hasn't he? And like you said, there's talk about sort of some attitude issues and things like that. But AD obviously knows him, obviously thinks that maybe he can work with him and get the best out of him. And I think that's the that's the potential, really. If we can get that to work, we could have got a seal there, really, couldn't we? And it could really make a big difference to our season, just that bit of extra creativity in midfield, something a bit exciting, something a bit different, something to take some pressure off Callum so that he's not... So there's somebody else that can sort of take that type of role on. So yeah, I'm quite excited about that. I think it's a positive move, and I think that I think it's a good addition to the squad in an area that probably needed it, with a player that's definitely got ability, and I trust in sort of Mark and AD's judgment on whether or not they think they can get the best out of him, and if they think that they can, then I'm happy that I'm happy with that.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on it, Miles? And obviously looking forward to next Saturday, a week on Saturday, where we're at Leamington away. So what's your thoughts on pre-season and football starting back again?
Yeah, so going on to Casey Palmer, I've heard Mark Robbins' interview this morning, and he's classed him as a Premiership player with Premiership qualities. So, you know, if he can get the best out of him and AD can get the best out of him, then, you know, fair play. And you never know, we might have a plan B. There might be a plan B in there somewhere where probably Casey Palmer could sit in behind O'Hare, and it'd give O'Hare a little bit more freedom. I've seen some of the clips of Casey Palmer, the way he crosses the ball and passes the ball and, you know, plays the ball across field, which we've already got players that can pass the ball from one side of the pitch to the other, you know, over 50, 60 yards. And it's just another fantastic addition to the team. And I've seen some corners that he can take. I think he's scored from a corner. And, you know, so that's another you know, in the book there, for because you've got Hamer taking corners. You've got Sheaf can take corners. You've got now Casey Palmer can take corners. If Kane stays, you've got Kane that can take corners. Anything can happen there. And he does look good. And if he is a bit of a live wire, Robbins wouldn't have signed him if he thought it was going to be a problem. And, you know, it's just going to be good. Robbins said, we've got to give him time. I think he's going to be one of those players like Sheaf was, where a lot of fans might get on his back to start with, because he hasn't played a lot of football in the last 6 to 7 months. So, in Robbins' words, we've got to be patient, not get on his back. And, we'll start seeing the qualities come out of him once he gets a bit more game time, and hopefully the pre-season friendlies will get that off to him. Going into pre-season, next week's going to be a good fun. I always like going to the Leamington game because you get to meet Mark Robbins, you get to meet some of the players, you get to have a little chat with Mark Robbins as well, which is good. And last time we went, when we went before League One season, when we won it, I went up to him and said, we're going to win the league. He says, calm down. He says, not just yet. And we went on and done it. So I'm going to say the same words to him this year. I'm going to say, right, we're going to go on and win the league then. And then hopefully it will work again. but yeah, it's going to be a good crack at Leamington. I think I'm not going to Warsaw because I don't want to go to the M6 on a Tuesday night, but I'll go down to Oxford. That'll be a nice little trip. And I think Ken's going away to Spain to watch the pre-seasons, which would be nice. And I think we've got Notts Forest, is that right?
Yeah, I think we got Notts Forest on the Friday now instead of the game. We're supposed to be playing Shrewsbury, I think.
Yeah. So that's going to be good. And hopefully we'll get to watch that on the internet, because normally they stream it, don't they? So, you know, we'll probably get a little sneak peek then as well. But yeah, it's going to be nice to see the boys out next week. It's a little bit like first game of the season. You know, it is first game of the season, really, even though it's a friendly. It's just going to be fun. And I don't live too far away, so it's a nice little trip for me. It's about 3 miles down the road, so I'm happy with that.
I'll be all right as long as the trains aren't still on strike. That could be fun. But yeah,
well, get a bus over. I think Leamington run a
bus
from the windmill, I think, and it's a free bus. They run it all the way up to the ground. I think they do about 3 or 4 times. So just get up to the Wimmer on Touchwood Road and jump on the bus and off you go.
So yeah, it'll be a good game to go and watch and watching football, because yeah, I'm a bit bored of just Saturdays not having anything to do, and watching England and other stuff isn't very entertaining. The final announcement that we've got is, obviously those that have followers on social media will have already seen that we've announced that our partnership, which we've extended from last season with the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery, has been extended into a second year. We would like to say many thanks to Dale Dillon for his support and also sponsorship of our pod, and the hard work that Ken Stewart has made in securing the contract extension with them. And also, we'd just like to say thank you to the Tavern staff for all their excellent customer service when we visited them recently. It's been really, really good to be there, and we look forward to winning some competitions with them in the next couple of months. What's your thoughts on the Tavern extension, Miles?
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, Dylan's Brewery before the games has really just made the atmosphere. It's just been phenomenal last season. It just gets you going, gets you hyped for the game. And then the Tavern, when you go for the away games, it's an experience. It's a day out. You know, you're going into a bar that's created for Coventry City and Coventry City fans, but also for whoever comes to visit Coventry needs to go and have a look at it, because it is a shrine. And my favourite booth, Cyril Regis booth, I like sitting in there. And it's just a great atmosphere. And, you know, the beer, you know, when you buy a beer, especially when it's their own brand beer, the Sky Blue Army or Ghost Town, and that percentage goes to the football club. So you're experiencing both, and also you're giving back to the football club, which is superb. And, you know, it's great for us doing the pod down at Dylan's and down at the Sky Blue Tavern, because as we've always said, we're for the fans, and they can come and have an interview with us and we can get them on the podcast. So when anytime anyone's around there, you know, we'll get you on, and you know, we'll get you on our podcast, and you know, we'll have a good crack. And you know, for next season, it's just going to be electrifying, you know, because we're just going to go all out, have a good time, enjoy ourselves, go on the coach to the away games. It's brilliant. And you know, as you say, Dal, the staff, everyone down at Dylan's Brewery and down at Scarborough Tavern have been brilliant with everyone. And whenever you go in there, they're always happy. And, you know, I just wish they'd sell some of their merchandise, to be honest. I'd like one of their little body warmers. They're brilliant. And then there was a lad there the other week. He had a white shirt with a cop badge and that on. That looked really nice as well. But, it's just great. Great for us, great for them. And it's going to be a brilliant experience next season.
What's your thoughts, Vicky? Obviously, we've been a few times together, watched a few games there. What's your thoughts on the Tavern and obviously their plans for next season?
Yeah, I think it's just a great venue, isn't it? And I think it all just comes down to where the football club is at the moment as well, really, like the sort of fan engagement. And I think, like Miles has just said, that follows our pod, really, like it's all about like a fan experience. So the football club have moved into a direction where they're actually thinking about the fans and under Robbins, and that's got really positive. The Sky Blue Tavern offer that sort of fan experience, like either at Dylan's Brewery or down at the Tavern. It's all just about the experience and a positive attitude, and like I said, and with the pod as well, just getting fans on, chatting, all just about our love for the football club and the fact that it's actually such a positive time at the moment, that like we're excited for next season, because life as a Coventry fan at the moment, it's good, isn't it? We've had ups and downs over the years, but at the moment, it really just is quite a positive time. And I think the Sky Blue Tavern sort of encompasses that, really, because you go down there, you see like the shrine to the club, you see like the history, like the Cyril Regis booth or the Oggy booth, all of the sort of players that have been part of our history. And watch the current players becoming part of the sort of current history, and so that in like sort of 20, 30 years, we'll be looking back and thinking, oh yeah, do you remember when Godden scored that goal against Sunderland or something like that? Like, this is where we're at the moment. It's a positive time in history. And I think, I really like the tavern. And I think, like Miles said as well, the staff are really nice and friendly. It's just a positive place to go. And I think it just really falls in with where we're at as a football club at the moment. I think it's really positive and I'm really happy.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of people coming from abroad to go to the Sky Blue Tavern when they come to Coventry to visit their relatives. You know, a cousin of mine, he's just moved back from Australia. He's been out there for 40 years. And he's retiring, and he wanted to retire back over here. So he's come back over, bought a house, and the first place he wanted to go was the Sky Blue Tavern, you know, because he's never been before. He's heard all about it, just like the Binley Mega Chippy. You know, the people have heard about the tavern, and everyone wants to go to the tavern because of what it is. And then, you know, when we were at Dylan's before the Birmingham game, and there was a couple of Birmingham fans in there, and they were stood with us, and they were talking to us, like, and they were saying, this is amazing. We've never seen anything like this. This is just what every club needs. And I think, you know, it's true. Every club needs something like we've got. No one's got it. And, you know, Dal and all the staff, they've made it what it is. You know, I think Dale's got it into them that it's all about the city. It's all about not just the football club, but about Coventry itself. So, you know, you've got the Spires in town. That's a lovely place to go and have a drink. You can sit outside, you've got heaters. And I think Dale has really, I mean, he's one of our own now because he's come from London. He's been here a few years now. And, you know, we class him as one of our own. He's a Cov kid now. That's it. That's the end off. He's a Cov kid.
I think
yeah, he is adopted, and you know, and that's the sort of atmosphere it brings. You know, for people to come from abroad to go there and want to go there, it shows that everything that goes out on social media, people posting pictures and that where they are, they absolutely love it, And it's, you know, we've got to be proud of what we've got. We've got a great football club at the moment. We've got great surroundings, and you know, I just hope that if the season doesn't go to plan and we end up being in a relegation battle, I just hope some fans don't turn on the team, which I don't believe they will, because the way everything's been done recently, look at the kits. I mean, the kits are fantastic. And even the training kit. Yesterday, when the training kit pictures come out, everyone's going, oh my God, look at that. That's special. And then Mark Robbins, someone's just zoomed in on Mark Robbins' training top. White and purple with the yellow chevrons on the sleeves. Oh, look at that. You know, so it's all coming together. And, you know, when you've got that in a club, you've got the merchandise right, you've got the fan base right, you've got everything surrounding it right, there's only one way this club and this city itself is going, and that's forwards. And, you know, Dylan's and Skyview Tavern have helped towards that. They have helped towards it, and it's brilliant stuff. Absolutely brilliant.
I think about Miles that, like, all of us, we're all sort of in our 40s, aren't we? So none of us were around for like the Jimmy Hill days. So, so having a sort of special time like this, where we can all just get excited about where, and not just the football club, like you said, the city generally, I think, like the city of culture's helped. Like, it just feels such a positive place at the moment, and so
yeah.
Yeah, it just feels like good times, and we're all going in the right direction. And I think for some of us that have followed the club, maybe only since like the 90s or sort of like sort of post FA Cup win in 87, there hasn't been a whole lot to get excited about. Whereas at the moment, it really feels like there is. And so it's almost like it's for the younger generation, it's our sort of Jimmy Hill time. So yeah, it's just roll on. All on the 30th of July.
Correct.
Not far now.
Come on.
just as we're going to wrap up, I'd just like to wish River, Wilson Bent and Dylan Chima good luck in their boxing fights. on Saturday at the Sky Dome in Coventry with a, in his rematch with Tyler Denny. Hopefully River will win the belt that he probably should have won last time in the fight. And also just a bit of an update on our plans for the pod for the next couple of weeks. We will hopefully be doing a pod with Paul Wheeler and Connor West, who are both Coventry City fans who are involved with Cov United Ladies. And they'll also be discussing about the Women's Euros that is starting soon. And then next week, we will be doing a Leamington preview. And then also we will be doing a review on the Leamington preseason game and looking forward to the club's trip to Spain and the upcoming preseason games against Walsall, Oxford and Portsmouth. One last thing to say, play up Sky Blues.
Play up Sky Blues.
These are Sky Blue days. These are Sky Blue days. When the CBS and the SBA will fight to the end and lead the way. Sing out together.
Sky Blue Fans TV, for the fans, by the fans.